Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded March the 12th, 2010. The Chicago Bears are in control at the Board of Trade. Can the Chicago Bulls regain the upper hand? It's a whole new ballgame as we head into the North American planting season.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Justin Kelly. He's the president of E. Hedger in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open our discussion today with this question. USDA increased the corn carryout by 80 million bushels and decreased the soybean carryout this week by about 20 million bushels, and both commodities ended the week a dime lower. Why didn't soybeans find more support? Kurt Kimmel.
Well, after the report, we feel there's probably the fear or the concern that the China might cancel some more beans, which they did. Also, too, we have a huge South America crop coming online. I think the trades look at the world supply-demand balance sheet and world stocks-to-use ratio. And, two, there's ideas, you know, we're going to have more bean acres this coming year. So I think the market gave in to some profit-taking after the run-up right after the report.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Chuck Shelby's with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
I think the weather was a pretty big factor. Earlier in the week, it looked like it was going to dry out some more. As we got towards the end of the week, some pretty hefty rain amounts, more rain around, and a cooling off of temperatures. So, you know, the acreage question comes up into play, and certainly wetter weather with the conditions we've got out there is going to probably lead to some more bean acres.
And Mike Georgie is with Allendale.
Well, I think what they're saying is right. If we could have went into Thursday morning with a good export number instead of cancellations, I think we would have seen beans higher today. You know, they're trying to find – the bulls are trying to find straws of good demand yet, but because they're still looking at huge numbers out of South America and maybe some huge ending stocks for us if we get the bean acres for this year.
What is it that you think producers ought to be thinking about for the coming crop year for soybeans and marketings?
Well, we got to decide if we want to manage risk or not. If you're one that wants to manage risk, I think you got to use some strength in here to develop a marketing plan. There's some creative ideas out there how to manage that risk. The simplest way is to look at some paper hedges to leave your cash side a little bit open. But we feel there's some downside risk here over the next few weeks.
Well, I think what we got to do here is look at it's getting down to crunch time here. We talked about that at the beef house quite a bit at the big meeting this week. As we go forward, I think producers need to really get down to, you know, having some kind of plan. Kurt made some good points there. If you don't want to do it in the cash side, there's certainly some option strategies out there, and that gives you the flexibility that if something happens later on, you can, you know, change your plan.
Well, I think that's right. I think you have to use some downside protection here, maybe leave the top side open with some options, because we could go to $8. We could go to below nine very easily. So, I mean, you still have to look for some downside protection. Hope we do get a bounce to maybe make some cash sales.
Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago on the weekend, the bean pit, by the way. We give you the overnight, the day trade. That's the whole session. And we give you both sides, the E-trade and the open outcry. 957 was the high on the week in the March, the low at 924. March settled at 9:26. It was down 8.75, and it went off the board to down Friday afternoon. November beans, by the way, at 9:14, were off 11 cents. From the corn pit, nearby March contract at 367.75 top, 344 was the low. Went off the board at 354, down 10.75 for the week. And December futures a trade from Friday to Friday change, down 8.75 at $3.93.75. Chuck Shelby, when you look at the marketplace for corn in old crop, many producers will have corn in the bin, and it may or may not be in condition, or may or may not be going out of condition, might be the better word for it. And producers are now faced with a cash price I know they will not like. What should they do?
Well, I think it's down to crunch time here. You know, we're going to have to make that decision, and it's turning into kind of a decision that we don't want to deal with and don't like. But the bottom line is, I know guys are worried about that. It's just got to go. The other issue that's going to happen is we're going to be in the field hopefully one of these days, Todd. So with that in mind, just bite the bullet, get rid of it, and then be ready if you feel the need or we can find a need to come back in and buy back into it.
Yeah, are the two of you in agreement that they should bite the bullet and get rid of it, Kurt?
Well, if there's any question of quality concern, yes. I don't think you can. There's enough risk out there, let alone having to take a torch to the side of the bin to get some grain out. But you can re-own it on paper very easy. If you do have good quality corn, you want to store it till July, there's some carry in the market. You could do some hedging out there and capture a few cents that way.
I think that's exactly right. You got to look at quality. If you have quality issues, you need to move it and re-own it on paper. And if it's good quality, I think the basis could tighten up by the middle of summer. They're going to start wanting some good quality corn, and you're going to have a chance to make some sales.
Okay, so let's take the paper side of this up more in depth. Chuck, we'll start with you. Kurt gave us one idea, and we'll come back to Kurt again on this. You don't want to re-own it just yet. When might you want to re-own it if you have to move it?
Well, I think we try to do hedging at the same time. If you let the corn go, then we're going to try to do it at the same moment. I think, again, I had a guy, producer today we talked about. He has pretty good corn. I like the strategy, again, that Kurt promoted of, again, we're going to sell the futures, you know, if you don't want to let the cash go and hold on to it and lock it in. But if you let the corn go, we're going to look to buy it back at the same time.
Everybody's in the same boat?
I think so. Corn's down to support. I mean, May corn, 359, 360 support. And, you know, you got to think that's pretty strong support and won't get broke. And with the weather and conditions going on, we should have a chance to go higher.
Easy enough to follow. Move on to new crop. Farmers will be looking at their fields now. They have a whole lot of corn stalks there. They have not been worked. They froze fairly quickly after they were shucked. They may have been frozen when they were shucked. Those corn stalks haven't broken down, and it's going to be hard to get back into it. There are a whole lot of ruts that they may or may not need to take care of. They haven't done their tillage. If we have a normal start to the growing season, in terms of weather, it appears, Chuck, that it'll be even a slow start then to the growing season, waiting for the ground to dry out.
I think that's true, but I think on the other hand, you know, we went through a really difficult fall. It's a lot harder to harvest it and get it done, but I think as far as spring tillage and spring equipment, we can plant a lot faster than we can harvest. So I think guys can adapt to that better. It's going to be hard. You know, we're going right back into a lot of hours and long work, but I think if the weather permits and it's early enough, Todd, I think guys will work aggressively and spend a lot of hours out there to get that done.
There was some advice that Emerson Nafziger has begun to talk about for tillage. His suggestion is that you shouldn't worry about compaction from last spring, and many producers were in wet, and they wanted to do deep till or fall tillage deep and didn't get it done. His suggestion is don't worry about that. You can't do anything about it in the spring. Come back and do it this fall. If you can get into the field to do something with the corn stalks, that you should, but that's probably not going to, you probably can't pull a field cultivator across it. No doubt that won't be the possibility. He does not suggest a chisel plow, probably too deep and too wet. So there are other things that might be worthwhile. Surprisingly to me, he suggested a disc
to go in and cut it up, and that probably doesn't do the compaction as long as you're moving fast enough.
Well, part of the problem there is there's not that many discs out there available, Todd, and I don't think they're big enough. There's some big field cultivators, but there's not enough discs to get that job done, I don't believe.
All right. So. Well, we'll have a tough spring in front of us, and we still have to market that crop. Has anybody got spots up on the top side where they want to let go a portion of the crop to begin with?
Well, if we can muster some strength in here, I think we can use some scalp selling. December futures back to that 410, 412 area, hopefully maybe 425. But I'd see if we can get up those levels to let some more go. If not, I think you got to come in and buy some put protection to protect yourself to the downside. But I'm willing to give the market a week or two here yet.
If a guy can't stomach it in the cash side of it, we'd like to get $4 again. But our strategy is, and we're getting more aggressive on it, buy puts and sell calls, get something underneath you before you get busy in the field and you won't have time to do marketing.
I think that's right. But, you know, we've got a lot of questions in the corn, acres, planting. So we might see some upside. I'm not too aggressive right now on selling, but if we do get over $4, I think you definitely got to look at it.
I would be amiss if I didn't ask all of you if producers are talking to you about their crop insurance decisions. They still have Monday to make changes if they want to. What are they asking, and do you have recommendations? Anybody want to take that up? Not everybody deals with crop insurance. Chuck?
A CRC-type policy on corn. You can use enterprise units if you got, pretty close on your farms. But, a CRC to cover, yourself on those kind of bushels, we're not really that thrilled about grip on corn. Grip on beans might be a better alternative, grip or grip HO.
All right. Surprisingly enough, in the state of Illinois, when we talked to Gary Schnitke, he suggests producers do look closely at the grip, mostly because the price for grip or that premium is much lower, and if you use it year in and year out over time, but you have to use it year in and year out, it will tend to pay for itself, but it costs a whole lot more money to do that. Let's take a look at the wheat market very quickly. March contract to 487 and a quarter top this week, the bottom at 466. It went off the board down a dime for the week at $4.72 and a quarter. July at $4.98. Week over week trade was off 7 3/4. On the other hand, crop insurance pays off in the wheat, all right, and acre in particular. He says if you're in wheat, take acre, and that will help you out. What are you talking to producers about in marketings for wheat? Usually, they just bring it in and they sell it. Do they need to do anything else?
Well, you got to have wheat first. I don't have anybody's got any wheat. I think you got to drive 1,000 miles to find a wheat field here in the Eastern belt. So we're kind of basing on new crop wheat sales. I know the world's awash with old crop. The report showed over a billion bushel carryouts. But as far as new crop goes, if you do have some wheat, we'd be patient here and make sure it greens up okay.
I think, you know, if you want to trade or if you've got wheat, a good thing to look at is Minneapolis wheat, because we've got the same question with spring wheat as we do with the grains. Could we have another rise in the spring wheat because of not getting it planted and not being able to get out there? So you might look at some spreads with Minneapolis and Chicago.
March oats, by the way, settled in Chicago at 209. They were down a dime and went off the board on Friday afternoon. The CME Group's livestock side settled up like this. The April lean hogs is 73.40 top, bottom at 71.52.5. The settlement price was down 45 cents at 72.65. April live cattle at 95.15 top, a bottom at $93.05, up 2.15 at 95.10. And the March contract for the feeders week-to-week trade, up 80 cents, finished at $103 even. Should they be locking in any of their inputs at this point?
As far as inputs, I'd use breaks to get some inputs on. As far as meal goes, I think there's some downside in meal yet, so I'd be patient on that. But the cattle market's alive. We traded 95 in Texas, and we got $5 more to go.
Yeah, we're getting to some profitable levels for both the hogs and cattle guys, and some put options as far as covering yourselves on the live side, and then it's going to be a real shootout here going into summer on the input side.
Well, I think inputs you got to consider getting some corn covered on your inputs, and and putting some puts or input covered on the input side, but you got to do some put options on the cattle and hogs to protect the price we're at right now.
Yeah, speaking of that, do you think the price of cattle can maintain where it is at this point for very long, or will it fade quickly as we move through the through the year?
Well, we got some cattle at home, and the question is, going to save those heifers back? If guys start saving heifers back, Todd, that's where you're going to see the cattle market get excited, because you're going to cut that supply of meat if guys save heifers.
All right. Anything to add before we finish up and we move on to the second half of our program? When we talk with Justin Kelly, he's at E. Hedger and serves as their president in Chicago, Illinois. A quick note about our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting that we held Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We had 403 in the house there. Thanks to everybody who came over. It was a very good day. If you missed it or you'd like to hear it again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. The entire day is there as MP3 files that you can listen to directly from the website. The address is willag.org. We'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with the president of E. Hedger.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Illinois residents enjoyed a rapid transition to warm spring weather this week. It remains to be seen how long the mild weather will last, since this is March and the weather is changeable. Temperatures this week were well above normal, ranging from 6 degrees above normal north to 9 degrees above normal in the southwestern portions of Illinois. High temperatures reached 70 degrees on Wednesday as far north as central Illinois, the warmest it has been since early November. There was a pronounced east-to-west gradient in rainfall this week. Precipitation was 50% of normal in extreme eastern Illinois, but as much as twice normal in northwestern Illinois before the weekend rains arrived. The rain Friday did even things out a bit. A meandering low-pressure system over Illinois will bring a cloudy, showery weekend, and temperatures will be noticeably cooler than earlier in the week. The lows should finally kick to the east on Monday. However, cloudy skies and perhaps some widely scattered showers could linger until late in the week. Temperatures next week will be near to perhaps slightly above normal. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on Friday, March the 12th, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois. Our guest on the phone is Justin Kelly. He grew up working on his family's farm in western Illinois and has been intimately involved in the agricultural industry his entire life. After graduating from Purdue University with a bachelor's in science degree in agribusiness management, Justin was at the COBT, where he was a member and a corn pit broker for Iowa Grain Company until 2006. Then he left the floor trade, and Justin became president of E. Hedger, where he applies his hands-on experience of both farming and futures trading to help E. Hedger customers, it says, implement risk management strategies tailored to their specific requirements. Justin, thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Tell me about what you've got E. Hedger customers up to at this point.
Well, right now we've been working more with crop insurance, especially the past year. You know, we like the idea of using CRC type coverage and selling against your insured bushels. We think that's a very powerful tool for risk management. And I think it gives us the power to sell on these type of rallies that we get, especially when people start getting nervous about a wet spring or every year we have a weather scare. So we like the idea of kind of taking too much of the, take a lot of the thought out of it and selling against your insured bushels. So we're about 50% sold on corn and beans for new crop. About 85% sold on old crop there. So
if you're actively pushing crop insurance, do you also sell crop insurance?
We do not sell crop insurance. We work with, several providers, but we're definitely big advocates.
And then the secondary question is, at what level are you telling them to take CRC?
Well, we like to plug in their numbers. This year, it seems like 85% coverage was kind of the best for a lot of our guys. We have a matrix that we plug in. It kind of shows you your scenarios of what coverage level you get, based on your break-even costs and, cash sales you make and so forth. So, to be broad, I guess 85% has been, most of what we've recommended this year.
Justin's good to have another Boilermaker on here. I'm usually alone on that, so I'm happy here to have another Boilermaker here with me. But bottom, what are you doing with the bushels beyond the crop insurance? What kind of tools are you using there to cover those bushels?
Well, to be honest with you, I like selling some calls against your insured bushels above the market, and I like using some of that premium to buy puts on the extra bushels. I think that's kind of a neat strategy. I don't like selling too many calls just for, margin requirement purposes, but I do like having, a little bit of extra puts on. The thing that we found, obviously, is as you make some cash sales and as you sell some calls, that crop insurance really starts protecting you on any, large price breaks.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask you, what do you use as a trigger to make your cash sales?
Nothing specific, to be honest. We look at each individual. Obviously around that, between 4 and 450, a lot of our guys were making good money at those levels, so we were firing off sales. Inputs came down significantly for most producers, as you are all aware. So we had a lot of guys with closer to 350 type break-even prices this year as opposed to 450 last year. So a lot of guys that were, kind of lucky to break even at certain areas last year were happy to lock in, 50 cents to more, or more per bushel. So that's kind of how we based our opinion is, whether they were making good money or not.
Just any new ideas on new crop acreage mix for corn and beans?
I think, I don't know who spoke about this, but I would say you're dead on the wheat acres. We feel, moving around the country, especially, Eastern Belt, wheat acres are down a lot. We already know that from the USDA, but in our opinion, we're going to see a further reduction in acres. I know a lot of larger producers that have planted the least amount of acres they ever have, and of the acres that they did plant, the stands aren't looking so hot. So I wouldn't be surprised with, insurance prices of $4 corn and $9.23 beans that we don't see some more acres come out and go to corn and beans. And I guess we're in the camp of more of both. Guys that can plant corn, I think, especially in, the Illinois, Iowa, Indiana areas that can grow, 180 plus bushel corn, they're going to grow more corn acres this year, weather providing.
You think there'll be U.S. wide more of both, or just are we talking Illinois, Indiana?
No, sorry, U.S. wide. We see more of both acres.
That could be really ugly, couldn't it?
I think so. Especially, like I said, I think the wheat acres are going to be down more than we think. I think those acres are going somewhere. We could see some cotton acres down in the Delta, but, you can make a good argument that, last year a lot of guys had good beans down there. We think 920 is going to be a good price for those guys. We think that there's going to be more beans in the Dakotas and Iowa where we see a lot of snow, and we still see some corn in the field from last year. We think those will be more bean areas. And conversely, we think Illinois and Iowa will see more corn.
What kind of bullish factors are maybe hidden out there in the background that you could see that may come into play on the bullish side as we go forward, Justin?
Well, I think, there's a unique situation right now. I think corn has some interesting things going on. Right now we have, a lot of supply here in the U.S. of corn. Globally, though, I don't see the stocks really rising too much. I think globally there's a bullish underlying fundamentals for corn, but like I said, the supply is in the U.S. right now. And I think you guys touched on this, a lot of old crop corn that needs to move. you know, lower animal numbers. I think that's what's bearish right now. But again, I go back to, you know, profitability is returning. The ethanol sector is strong. The feeding sector is improving. And globally, our stocks to use ratio is pretty tight for corn. So we're going to have those extra acres. We're going to have a good year. I would say that would be, in my opinion, the most bullish right now.
Can I take you to the soybean market very quickly? Talk to me just a bit about China. Will they continue to buy beans, even if they do it from South America? Will that continue to hold the price of beans in Chicago higher?
You know, I don't think so. And, you know, so this has obviously been a unique situation. You know, we had a bad crop year there down in South America, which in essence kind of put us as the only game in town as far as exports go. This came at a time that China decided to stimulate their economy by making 750 million farmers happy by, you know, kind of stockpiling beans. So, you know, I think we're so used to the last 12 months of having excellent bean sales and exports week after week that if we go back to a more traditional level like we expect with a large South American crop, it could feel that demand's very weak here. You know, our crush demand was also very strong here in the States, and that was also directly related to the small crop in South America, and that we had to export a lot more soybean oil and soybean meal. So we are concerned deeply about the demand here in the States, and we just don't think that's going to be able to hold a 9 or maybe even an 8 in front of soybeans.
Justin, how's the transition from pit trade to electronic trades gone for you?
It's been good. It was a big change for me. The pit was great. Learned a lot of things down there, but I think, you know, for the industry, I think the electronic market's a lot better, a lot more transparency between everybody, a lot quicker fills, a lot less slippage on prices. So I think it's been a good change for the industry. It's been an unusual change for me, but I do enjoy it. So I think it's for the best.
Since you were looking at risk management and crop insurance, do you look at other parts of your clients' assets? And, for instance, I'm thinking, are you advising them as well on how to lock in prices for their fuel needs?
We are. We work with, you know, we like to get the right team of people together. I think it's going to be too hard in these changing environments to be the jack of all trades and do it correctly. You know, we want to provide that for all of our customers, so we try to hook up with the right people in each industry. But, we definitely recommend people, and if they don't want to use the people we recommend, we at least recommend talking to somebody and getting those locked up, because you can't, it's just too dangerous now to look at one piece of the puzzle. You have to look at the whole package and do the right strategy for you.
Justin, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You bet. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Justin Kelly is president of eHedger in Chicago, Illinois. Now a final word from our panelist in the studio, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Well, Todd, I thought you did a real great job at the Beef House. Really enjoyed it. Had a lot of positive comments. And the best advice I got from that was from Pete Manhart on day trading. Buy low, sell high.
Chuck Selby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Well, let's hope we're out in the field in 30 days from now and get ready to market, guys. It'll be soon time to plant.
Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet.
Allendale just got done with their yearly acreage survey from our customers, and we'll have the answer to how many acres we're going to plant by next Friday.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week, something to keep in mind. You can access the Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our website is willag.org. That's willag.org, and posted there on Friday afternoon were all of the sessions from our all-day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Even if you weren't there, you can go and listen to the programs. Please do visit willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great weekend.